Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Woo! Well, it's exciting to be here. You guys can have a seat. We're going to pray here in a moment. But first of all, I am just so excited. Thank you, Pastor Antonio. Thank you, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jess, and just the whole Rock family. Yes, it's been many years that we've been a part of the church. Pastor Donna is here with me tonight. But we were, in 1988, when the Rock started, we were part of the first 12, and we had just two sons at the time. One was 1 year old, one was 3 years old, and now we have, our family has grown, and this is our family. I think we got a picture. So this is, we have our boys are all grown up now, and they're all married, and we have two grandchildren. Let's see the grandchildren. I think we have another picture, and these are our grandkids, and you know, it's just one of those things that it's amazing what God does in your life when you're faithful, and God just brings just the generations up, and just, I am just so blessed and so honored, but it was all of the planting of the seeds that God had done for us in this house. And as God began to do great things, and we became youth pastors and got to sow into the lives of many of you that are here, it's such a blessing. And we think this is a good house. This is a good church. It's a good place to be planted in. And I am, like I said, I'm just, besides myself, I get emotional when Pastor Antonio was kind of just saying, I'm just like almost about to cry, because I'm a big cry baby and I cry a lot. And we'll see about what God does today, but we're excited. Like I said, Pastor Don and I were here today, and as the fruit of many seeds that were sown from your founding pastors, Pastor Jim and Deborah, they've been our only pastors that we've ever had, and so it's been amazing to see what God has done in their lives, in their fruit, and we're believing that the same thing is happening with our lives and our fruit, that it just continues on, and so I think we're going to have a good time tonight. I see my time, and we're going to get in a moment of the word. But yet at the same time, we're going to believe that God opens up the opportunity to maybe allow the Holy Spirit to move. Maybe you need a touch from God. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe you just need that refreshing. You need to be revived in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that tonight is the night. I don't take being up here lightly, especially, you know, being a pastor, where the pastor's at the Rock Church of Coachella Valley, and, you know, when I step in my pulpit, you know, I'm comfortable. But yet when I step in someone else's pulpit, I realize the responsibility and the mantle, and I don't take it lightly. And so when I step up here, it's not like, oh, he has the message, he knows what he's doing. I just have to rely upon God and believe that God's going to speak through me and bring forth the message that he has. And so we're going to get into the Word of God here in a moment. I want you to turn to your Bibles in Genesis. Genesis in the 41st chapter. Tonight what I want to talk about is an encounter that brings change, because I really believe that whenever we have an encounter with God, it brings change. And I love what Pastor Antonio said, you know, I hope that you came expecting, because for years we've always said that the atmosphere of expectancy is a breeding ground for miracles. And we truly believe that, and I believe that if you're here expecting, that God is going to come and speak to you and do great things. And we're going to talk about the encounter that brings forth change. Let's read the scripture first, and we're going to go from verse 17 to 21, and then we're going to pray and just ask God to continue to bless this time. In this chapter, what we see here is Pharaoh is beginning to interpret the dream to Joseph. Remember Joseph, he had a dream from God, and he prematurely told his dream, and his brothers didn't like him, and they threw him into a pit, and they tried to kill him, and then they sold him off into slavery, and then he gets falsely accused and ends up in prison. And when he's in prison, he meets a couple guys that were part of Pharaoh's team, and they one of them died because Joseph interpreted the dream, and then the other one was put back in the position. Pharaoh has a couple dreams, and he's just disturbed. Nobody could interpret this dream for him. And then the butler comes, hey, I know this guy that was in prison. he interpreted my dream, and here I am today because of his interpretation. They said, let's call this Joseph. So Joseph is now in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is now about to tell him his dream. And then we're going to take it up in chapter 41 of Genesis. We're going to look in verse number 17, 41, verse 17. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the banks of the river, and suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat. And they fed on in the meadow, and behold, the seven cows came up after, poor and ugly and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness that I've never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and the ugly cows ate up the first seven and the fat cows. And when they'd eaten them up, no one would have known that they'd eaten them up, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. And so I woke up. Let's pray. Father God, I just come to you today, Lord, and I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to share your word. Father God, I believe that tonight that there's going to be an opportunity, Lord, for people to encounter you, not just be here at church, but, Lord, encounter you, to experience your love, to experience your grace, and experience your mercy. So, Father God, I just pray that tonight that as I open my mouth, Lord, I have nothing to say, but, Lord, you have everything to say. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would use me and speak through me, that change will take place, Father God, and lives will be changed and healed and delivered and set free and sanctified. Father God, we just thank you. Today we give you all praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As we read these verses, we could just read past and say, okay, that's just the dream that Pharaoh had. But I love what it says, and I believe that there's some interpretation that needs to take place here, that when Pharaoh tells him his dream, oh, that's the 7 years, and seven cows came up, and they were feeding in the meadows, and then the ugly cows came up. And the ugly cows came and ate the seven good cows. And we know the story because Joseph interprets a dream and talks about the famine and the lamb. But then he comes along and says, the seven ugly ones come and eat up the seven good ones. But they looked like nothing ever happened. It looked like nothing ever happened. You know, at church, and for us, and I know that here as well, that when we do church, we don't do church just to bring forth a service where people come, they hear the word of God, and they leave, and everything's the same. But when we have church, we believe that, God, we're setting the atmosphere. We're setting an atmosphere for people to have an encounter with God, that they just don't come to church and leave the same. And I think that's when we read this scripture, it's like no one ever knew it. You saw the ugly one, the ugly cow, and they ate up the seven good cows, and it's just they look the same. The Bible says that they came along and you wouldn't even have known that they'd eaten them up, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. You would have thought that there would have been some change. You would have thought that something would have happened in them, but nothing happened. And I think a lot of times as we're growing up as Christians and as we're growing up as believers, we begin to tell people, man, you need to come to my church. And you know what, man, God has been doing something in my life. And they begin to see the change in you. But many times they don't want to go to church because of the hypocrisy of church. Because they've seen in the past that people go to church, but nothing ever happens. And when they leave, it looks like the same. It says, well, why should I go? Because it doesn't look to me like your life has ever changed. It doesn't look to me like you ever had an encounter. And when I read those scriptures, I look at, that's kind of how sometimes people look at the church. Because people go to church, but their lifestyle doesn't match up. They haven't had an encounter, because in all reality, when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you change. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, something happens on the inside of you. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, when you walk out of this place, people are going to know that there's a difference in your life. People are going to know that something has happened to you. But I think a lot of times we look at it and we look at people and say, what's going on? What's the difference? What's happening here? Why isn't anything happening? And why aren't people changing? It's because many people come just coming to church and not expecting an encounter with God. I mean, you look at throughout the Bible. When everybody came in the presence of Jesus, there was lots of people that would follow Jesus, but then there were some people that had an encounter. And there were some people that got healed, and some people that got blessed. Out of the thousands that followed Jesus, those that had the encounter, you could see visibly that something happened in their life. And that's what I'm here tonight. I'm believing that we're going to be talking, and I want to talk about the encounter that brings change, because I don't want you to come just to church, to have church, come to church just to get a message, but to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, that there's change, that every time you come to church, you leave a little bit changed. When you come to church, you leave a little bit changed, that you're not staying the same, you're not remaining the same, but something is happening on the inside of you. I'm going to read a scripture in Ezekiel. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. I put both versions, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read it out of the Message Bible. In chapter 33, verse 30-32, and it says, "As for you, son of man, you become quite the talk of the town. Your people meet on the street corners and in front of the houses and say, 'Let's go hear the latest news from God.'" Isn't that sometimes like, wow, let's go to that church. Let's hear the latest news. Let's hear what's going on. Let's hear about what's happening down there. We heard something's happening. We heard something's taking place. And the people meet on the corners and in the front of the house, and they say, let's hear the latest news from God. And they show up, as people tend to do, and they sit in the company and they listen to you speak, but don't do a thing you say. It's people like that are never going to really have that encounter, because they're coming just to, they like to hear the word. Just make sure, don't mess with my lifestyle. Don't mess with the things that are happening in my life. I like to hear, but let me hear. It's good stuff. But it says, but they don't do what you tell them. They listen to you speak, but they don't do a thing you say. They flatter you with compliments. "Oh, Pastor Eddie, it's such a great word. Pastor Eddie, man, is amazing. Pastor Eddie, thank you for that message. Oh, well, the worship was so amazing. The worship was so great." And they flatter you with compliments, but all they care about is making money and getting ahead. To them, you're merely just entertainment, a country singer, a sad love song, playing a guitar. They love to hear you talk, but nothing comes of it. Nothing comes of it. They're not coming to have an encounter. They're coming to be entertained. They're not coming to meet up with God. They're just coming because it's the thing to do, because the message, they like the message. But we, all of us, need to come to the place of realizing that when we come into the house of God, that we're going to come with the attitude, with the expectancy, I'm going to have an encounter with God. And when I have that encounter with God, there's going to be change. We have to come with the attitude, I'm coming, and I know that there's things in my life that sometimes it's hard to give up, but I'm coming with the attitude, with the expectancy that something is going to change on the inside of me, that something's going to be different when I leave this place. I'm just going to get a little bit closer to God. I don't want to remain the same, because everything in life is changing, and everything in life is growing. And if we're not growing, if we're not changing, if there's not something on the inside of us that's happening, in all reality, if something doesn't grow, it becomes sick and it's not healthy. And we're talking about having an encounter, and they heard the word of God and they loved the music, but they were just like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, one of those things. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be one of those fanaticals. I've seen too much of that, and I'm not sure if I really want to go there. And they love what's going on, but there has to be a change. There has to be an encounter. And when they go to church, it's not just about having goosebumps, but it's about having an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's about having an encounter with the Almighty God, and it's coming in His presence. Moses, when he went up onto the mountain, he went up and speaking with God, and God speaks to him. And the Bible tells us in Exodus, the 34th chapter, verse 29, the Bible tells us that Moses, when he came back down from the mountain, didn't realize as he came back down the mountain with the tablets that his face was glowing. That his face was glowing, that it glowed from being in the presence of God. He had an encounter with God, and there was change in his life. And sometimes we may not realize it, but there's change that happens on the inside of us when we have that encounter with God. He comes walking down, and his face was glowing. That's what I want to happen in my life. Every time I come to church, that I'm in the presence of God. And when I leave the presence of God, I may not realize that anything is different. I may feel the same, but somebody says, you know what? There's something different on the inside of you. There's something, I don't know, there's a change. The way that you talk, the way that you speak, the way that you act, your mannerisms, your lifestyle, just something is changed and something's different. So when Moses came down, everybody looked and said, wow, he was in the presence of God. He had an encounter with God, and there was a visible change in his life. Sometimes I feel like Moses these days, coming down from the mount with the gray all in my beard. When I was here, I had no gray. I had, it's amazing what the presence of God will do. So I don't want you to look at it and say, you're old, Pastor Eddie. Man, I remember you when. I've just been in the presence of God, right? Right? Right, Danny? Right? We've just been in the presence of God. No, but it's just, it's the, what we see that happens, that encounter is going to bring change. You know, in Ezekiel, the 46th chapter, kind of gives us an illustration. You look at it and say, well, what does that mean? And what does that say? I just take a look at it and I think, you know what? This is the way I want to go to church and this is how I want to live my life. It says, but when the people of the land came before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever entered by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And whoever enters by the way of the south gate and shall go out by the way of the north gate. And he shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. In other words, when you come in, doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you have to go out that door. You come in this door, you go out the opposite door. What it's saying is when you come into church, when you come into the presence of God, have an attitude, have a determination that when I leave this place, I'm going to leave different. I'm going to leave changed. I may have come with all kinds of junk on the inside of me, but I'm going to come and get washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something is going to happen on the inside of me. I'm not going to leave the same. I'm determined that when I leave church, I'm going to leave different. Even if it's just a little change, make sure that there is change that happens in your life. Change that happens when you have that encounter with Jesus Christ. Tonight what I want to do is I want to share, what does that encounter that brings change look like? There's a couple people, and you look at throughout the Bible, and there's people that had an encounter with Jesus Christ, people that had an encounter with God, there was a definite change. When the angels came to the shepherds and they said, you know what, today in the city of David, wow, the Messiah is going to be born. The shepherds went to see the baby Jesus in the manger. And the Bible tells us in Luke 2:22, when the shepherds left the presence of God, when they left that encounter with God, there was a change in their life. What was the change? The Bible says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They came with an expectancy from a word that they heard from the angels. They came to that place, and when they left changed. They left glorifying God for what the things that they heard, the things that were seen. You know, when we come to church, it's one of those things that when the word of God goes forth, it doesn't return void. You know, a lot of times, you know, I just have a little pet peeve with people that say, you know, sometimes, oh, Pastor, you know, I'm not getting fed, or, you know, the word of God, and I don't know, and I need it deep, or I need this. You know what? That's, you know, that's a bunch of phooey. Because the word of God does not return void. So if you are allowing it to return void in your life, then you must have a barrier there that you're not wanting to receive what the Word of God has to say. The shepherds came back. They were praising God. They had an encounter. They were praising Him for the things that they heard and seen as it was told to them. Many of you, maybe you started coming to church and you heard about people getting healed. You heard about the lives that were changed. You heard about how God delivered and set people free. And you heard about these things. The attitude should be just like the shepherds. You know what? I'm going to go praising God, because the things that were told to me when I walked into that church, I felt the presence of God. I saw the change. I saw the things that were happening, and I'm leaving praising God, knowing that the things that were told to me by my friend that invited me to church, all of a sudden, it was the truth. I had an encounter for myself about what was taking place, and my life was changed forever. Testimony after everyone in here, I know you have a testimony on how you came to this church and how your life has changed because somebody told you about what God was doing in this place. We see Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 5, when Jesus calls the fishermen and he says, cast out and launch out into the deep. It's like, oh, Jesus, we've been working all night, but at your word, Jesus, we're going to be obedient. Peter was about to have the encounter with Jesus Christ. His life was about to change forever. So they launch out into the deep. Now Jesus said, go out further because there's going to be a great increase about to take place. Cast the nets over here. And all of a sudden, they had the greatest catch of all. And the Bible tells us that Simon Peter saw it. And what did he do when he had that encounter with Jesus Christ? When he saw what Jesus had said had come to pass, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You see, when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ, we begin to realize, you know what? I need you, Jesus. I'm a sinful man, but thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love for me. While I was a sinner, that you came and you died for me. And he had that encounter, and his life was changed forever. He came in, got rid of his business, and started following Jesus. That's when an encounter what Jesus Christ will do for you, it will change the very destiny of your life. We see in Luke, in the 19th chapter, we see Zacchaeus, a tax collector, and nobody really wanted to be around him, and he cheated people. He cheated them out of their money, and he stole and robbed, and he heard about Jesus, and he wanted to see who this Jesus was. He's little, and everybody was around. They were blocking him, so he runs down and climbs into the sycamore tree. And as he's climbing up in the sycamore tree, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He didn't know he was going to have an encounter with Jesus, but he had that expectancy. I want to see who this guy is. And all of a sudden, Jesus looks up. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down, because today you're going to have an encounter with me. And today your life is going to change. Today something's going to happen to you and your household. And Zacchaeus comes down and Jesus says, today your life is changing. He says, you know what? Today now I want to give up everything. I'm going to give back to those that I robbed, to those that I hurt. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ and his life was changed forever. The woman with the issue of blood, we see that she comes along. Lots of people around Jesus, but she had a determination. I tried everything, but I want an encounter with Jesus Christ. Just if I could touch the hem. She touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus says, who touched me? Who had that encounter with me? The disciple says, what do you mean? There's so many people touching you. That No. Somebody just had an encounter with me, and their life was changed. Just by the touch of the hem of my garment, something happened, and their life has changed forever. And she... We know the story that she comes and says, it was me. There's so many great people. We see when blind Bartimaeus, he yells out, he wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. His life was changed. The lepers that came to Jesus, heal us. And their life, and so many encounters, but all the people that had an encounter with Jesus Christ, their life was changed. So when I read that scripture in Genesis, in the 41st chapter, when it's given us the illustration that here's these cows, and they ate the seven fine cows, so why wasn't there a difference? Why wasn't there a change? So for us, I want that change. I want the encounter. I want something to happen tonight. I'm believing that God's going to do something great. But I want to spend a little time talking about the Apostle Paul, because he had an encounter. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was changed forever. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He did some great things, but he was one of those guys that, you know what, he was against God, he was against Jesus, and did whatever he could to go against the flow of what Jesus was doing, but he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want to look at it, not in Acts, the ninth chapter, but in Acts in the 26th chapter. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there in Acts. The 26th chapter. Acts. Why do you keep on saying that? Because I'm turning my pages, getting to Acts in the 26th chapter. Acts 26th chapter. We're going to start in verse number 12. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's given an account to King Agrippa about his life and, you know, just make an appeal that, you know what, maybe you guys can let me go. And he begins to talk in the chapter 26, the first verse, the King Agrippa says, Paul, you're permitted to speak for yourself. She says, oh, great. Now I have a chance. I think for us, a little side note, there may be times in our life that there's going to be doors that are open. Tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this encounter. Tell me about what God has done. Tell me about what has happened to your life. And each and every one of us, like I said, this is a little side note, but I feel that in my heart that there's some of you in this place, you need to be ready. You need to be ready because there's going to be people that are going to come up to you instead of fumbling and not knowing what's going on. You need to have that word. So when King Agrippa comes to Paul, he's like, all right, dude, I got that. I'm ready. Thank you for inviting me to say these words. So now we're going to go. He begins to talk about his life as a boy, but we're going to take it up in verse number 12. And it says, he begins to talk about his encounter on the road to Damascus. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So I said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, how do you know that there's been a change? Because you really see Jesus for who he really is. You see Jesus for who he really is. You don't just see Jesus as a religious figure. You don't just see Jesus as just a good man that walked the earth. You don't see Jesus just as the one that healed, but you see Jesus not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. Because he was blinded, but he says, Lord, Lord, what's going on? Lord, Lord, he knew that he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus for who Jesus was. Here's the guy who was persecuting people that even said the name of Jesus, and now all of a sudden he's coming and saying, Lord, 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 why are you doing this? Who are you, Lord? Jesus comes along and says, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. You see Jesus for who he really is. He's Lord, he's Savior, he's the healer, he's the deliverer, he's the one that came and paid the price of debt that we couldn't pay called sin. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He came and walked this earth. He came as a man, all man, but yet all God, and he came and walked this earth, and that's who Jesus, we need to see Jesus for who he really is. If we have the attitude, it's like, well, I don't know about, you know, people like, you know, this or that. You know, we live in Coachella, and that's where the church is at. And most of you have heard about the big music festival, Coachella. And this year they had something that was going on because Kanye West was doing a church service. I thought to myself, come on. And people were flocking, and people wanted to get tickets. They wanted to get to the place, and they wanted to go here, and they wanted to go there. But yet at the same time, he begins to talk about what is this church all about. Well, I think we want to be people that are politically correct, and we want people to come and just to experience. And he talks about the higher power, but yet he's not able to say the name of Jesus. And yet people are flocking and wanting to go. And God bless the people that they don't know what they're doing. They just want to see the celebrity. They just want to be in the presence of somebody that's famous. But at the same time, they're going just to go to see what's going on. But when you know who Jesus is, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. It's the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul believed in Jesus. He told the name of Jesus, and he had that experience, and he saw Jesus for who he really was. And when you have that experience, you see Jesus for who he really is. And then what does Jesus say? He says, I want you to rise and stand to your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose. When there's a change on the inside of you and you see Jesus for who he really is and what he's really done for your life, there all of a sudden there becomes a purpose that your life is no longer your life, but God, here I am. What do you want me to do? You realize that, you know what, I'm here at church because I'm being equipped so I could be that full-time minister, so I could go out and preach the gospel, so I could lead somebody to the Lord, so I could lay hands upon the sick, so I could see the miracles take place. And God comes along and Jesus says, I've appeared to you for a purpose. When we come and we have that encounter with Jesus Christ, we need to come knowing that there's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose behind the message. There's a purpose behind the equipping. There's something that's going to be deposited in each and every one of us if we come with that expectancy to believe. I prepare for you for a purpose to make you a minister and a witness of both of the things which you've seen and the things which I have yet to reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people and will, as well as the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and the inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He says, I have a purpose for you, Saul. I have a purpose for why you had this encounter with me. Now you realize and you see me for who I really am. And I have a purpose for you that now you're going to go out. Now you're going to be my witness. Now you're going to be my ambassador. Now you're going to go and preach the gospel for me, turning those that are walking in darkness, that they may have an encounter with me, into seeing me for who I really am. So the Apostle Paul, he comes and he sees Jesus for who he really is. He has that encounter. And then in verse number 19, then he says, but then it says in verse 16, but arise and stand to your feet, for this purpose I've come to you. I want you to open the eyes of those in the darkness. And then he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared to first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the regions of Judea and to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works benefiting the repentance. He comes along and he says, I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I've had this encounter with you. I saw you, Jesus, for who you really are, and you planted something on the inside of me, purpose. I was living my life wondering, why am I even on this planet? It seems like I've made a mess of my life, but now you've given me purpose. My purpose is to go out and tell others that were in my position that they don't have to live life that way, but now they can come into the presence of God. God, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly visions. God, I'm going to do what you said you wanted me to do. That's the key. Oftentimes when people that come into the presence of God and they have that encounter, but yet they feel sometimes that they're not worthy, that they can't do it, that they can't open their mouths, that they're not be able to speak the gospel or preach the gospel or share their story. You see, when I first became the youth pastor, Pastor Jim said to me, he said, Pastor Eddie, I was a two-time world champion skateboarder. I was traveling the world skateboarding and coming to church, but yet at the same time traveling around. Pastor Jim says, I want you to be our youth pastor. And I just said, you know what, let me pray about it. We prayed about it, and I had about a year's worth of commitments, and we just said, okay, I'm going to do that. But are you sure you want me? Yeah. You know, when I first became the youth pastor, I couldn't hardly speak. I was looking at a video the other day and said I was just, because we would practice before I went to the youth. And actually, Pastor Jessica, she was in my first youth group when we had youth. And I would stand there and I was just like, I would not move my hands. And hi, my name is Pastor Eddie. And I want you to open up your Bibles. And I was just very monotone and just rehearsed in everything that I would do. And I was just like, I'm not sure if I could do this. But just like the Apostle Paul, he was obedient. I wasn't disobedient. God, if you believe that I can do this, then I'm going to step up and I'm going to trust you, God. I may not have all the words, but you know what? I've had an encounter with you, Jesus. I have an encounter with you, and now you put purpose on the inside of me that now you want me to preach the gospel. I may not know how to preach the gospel. I may not know it all, but I'm not going to be disobedient. Apostle Paul, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, what was spoken to me, but yet I'm going to go forth and I'm going to tell people that they should repent and turn to God and do works benefiting the repentance, that they do something that shows that they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, because there has to be change on the inside of you that shows that something happened. Then it comes along and he says, for this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and they tried to kill me. Therefore, obtaining help from God, to this day, I stand witnessing to both small and great, say no other things than those which the prophet of Moses said would come. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, when you realize that there's purpose, when you realize that God has done something on the inside of you, that you have a purpose and you're not going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision, the purpose that God has put on your life, God will have your back. You just go and God will have your back. You just go and trust God. When I went and I became that youth pastor for the very first time, I was 30 years old. And back then, I didn't know any better, but I just look at the generation that have been raised up. My youngest son is 26 years old and you know, just preaching the gospel. He's amazing. My second oldest son, Pastor Chris, was raised in church, in this church here, and you know, he's barely 32 years old, and yet they've gone so much further than I have. But what if I would have said, no, God, not me. I'm not sure if I could do it, God. I'm not sure if I could. You know, I'm 30 years old, and all these hotshot preachers at 20 years old doing all kinds of stuff, but I was obedient to the heavenly vision, and I knew that God had my back. And the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, I obtained help from God to this day, and I stand before witnessing to both small and great. I've had the opportunity to travel the world, and I still skateboarded. I'm 56, going to be 57 years old. I still have the opportunity to influence. Many of you may have heard of Tony Hawk, and Tony Hawk says that I was his greatest influence and I was his hero. And as a kid, he looked up to the things that I did, but that's not my greatest accomplishment. My greatest accomplishment is now that I get to go witnessing to small and great, when traveling the world and preaching the gospel. God has done some great things in my life, but I really believe that it's still, there's so much more on the inside of me that God wants to do. Why did all this happen? Why is my life changed? Why am I able to push through even in the difficult times? You may be here today and say, Pastor, you know what? You're a professional skateboarder. Yeah, you were raised in church. Yeah, you preach the gospel now. Everything was given to you. Everything's easy for you. You don't have no problems whatsoever. Last year was probably one of the most difficult years of our life as a married couple and in ministry. At the beginning of 2018, our grandson was born, and they took him to the hospital and they didn't know what was going on. They sent him to UCLA Medical Center. They said, you know what, he has RSV, respiratory failure is going on. They rushed down to the hospital. We were there in the hospital, and the doctors were saying, you know, well, we're not sure if your grandson's going to live, because at this age, at a month old, we're not sure. But I love that one song, when this is how I fight my battles, is by worshiping God. And I thank God that I had an encounter with Jesus Christ When I was 21 years old and I gave my life over to Jesus Christ and started going to church and knowing that I wanted my life to change, and I raised up my kids in the ways of the Lord, like the Bible said, and when they're old, they won't depart. And I was so proud of my kids, because when they were in the hospital with their child hooked up to all kinds of tubes, they said, "We need to praise God." And they put on some worship music, and we just worshiped God through this, and all of a sudden God came in the presence of my enemy, yet God came through the worship. Why? Because I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and I said, "I don't want to remain the same. I want to be changed." And a couple months later, we took Pastor Donna down. We went down to Costa Rica. She needed a surgery because her health was failing and lots of stuff was going on. And it's just like, "Oh God, what's going on, God? What's happening? I've been serving you, but yet, God, you're there with me. You have my back. I've had an encounter with you. You've been faithful to me." And God did some great things and began to heal her. And God went through and did some great things. October comes along, and we were just warring in our marriage. Just things were tough. Serve God all these years and your kids are doing great, and then all of a sudden you get an attack after attack after attack. And we called the emergency board of directors meetings and the staff and the team, and we just said, "This is what's going on." Pastor Luke is on our board of directors, and he was there in the meeting, and it's just like, "You know what? The enemy is attacking our marriage like never before." And so they said, "There's some things that you need to do." And they said, "You need to go." Pastor Luke said, "There's a place focused on the family. It's a marriage intensive there. There's therapy, 30 hours. We said, "We're going to do whatever it takes." And we got on a plane and we went, invested in our marriage. Because I wasn't just going to give up. But yet we knew that we weren't there. And so we just invested in our marriage, and all of a sudden it was amazing to see what God did. God began to reveal some things and show us some things. Sometimes you say, "Well, I'm not going to go to counselor. I'm not going to go to therapy." I'm telling you, if it happened to us, I know it's happening to you. And sometimes you think, "Well, I'll just go to church." Sometimes that's not good enough. So we went through all that, and our board director said, "This is what we want you to do." And we did it. We did the hard work. We pushed through. We made it. And it happened because that we had that encounter with Jesus Christ. I didn't want to go just to church, just to go to church, but I wanted to go knowing, "God, every time I go to church, I want to have an encounter with you. I don't want to just be a spectator and stand off to the side and just say, 'You know what? Okay, good. I'm going to leave.'" And all of a sudden, when you leave, you realize that there's nothing really has happened. "God, I want to have that encounter with you." The board of directors said two things. They said, "You need to go to get work on your marriage, because we don't want you to be casualties of pastors." Because earlier, a few months earlier, young pastor that was in the ministry had taken his own life because he didn't know what to do and know how to handle it. So they said, "We need you to go." And we're up front with our church. We're like an open book. I don't want to be nothing less. But I know that God did something in our life when we were first married, and God continued to move through us. But yet at the same time, if God did it once, he could do it again. And then they said, "You need to take a rest." You know, when you've been in ministry as long as us, we've been in ministry 1992. We started as youth pastors. So when you think about 92 up until now, that's, you know, close to 27 years. Just building the church. Well, like I said, when we started here, it was 12 people. And when we left, there was 17,000 members. And then we started our church, and we were there now going on 13, 14 years planting our church, working. He said, "You need to take some time for yourself. You need a sabbatical. You need a rest. And you know, on the inside of us, we're like, how can we do that? We can't do that. We can't take time off. And all of a sudden, God began to speak to us and say, yeah, it's okay. Pastor Diego Mesa said, Pastor Eddie, because he's on the board of directors, he said, Pastor Eddie, he said, oftentimes we don't realize how strong the church is. I'm not talking about just our church, but the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And he says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And so today was officially our last day we're going to go for 2 months. And we've been raising up our kids and we've been raising up the ministry. You say, why do you say all that? Because I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God will never leave me or forsake me. And as long as I trust Him, I know that everything is going to be all right. And I know that unless I take care of myself, realizing that I need God in my life, and there's times that I need that encounter with God and I need to be changed. And if I keep on going around the circle doing the same thing, it is insanity. I become at a place of not realizing that all of a sudden I'm at the place of going backwards instead of forwards. And we said to ourselves, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. We raised up our kids. Our kids are coming along. They're going to be doing what they need to do. But pastors need rest. We've been doing it, like I said, a long time. And I talked today at church. I talked about the rhythm of life. That if you look at God, He created the heavens and the earth. We're made in the image of God. And He created, and He begins to talk about it. And He says, after the first day, He steps back. Then He goes to the second day, steps back. Third day, steps back. He works and steps back and appreciates what He did. That's good. Sometimes we work, and we don't appreciate the time to enjoy the journey. So I'm going to enjoy the journey and look back at what God has done. You know, I look at Beth, and I just think about how amazing what she's doing in the kingdom of God, how God, amazing preacher, Pastor Joey, seeing what God is doing in their lives. And sometimes we do ministry and do ministry and do ministry, and we don't step back to enjoy the ministry because we're doing it. But I want to sit back and enjoy Him. Pastor Rich and Pastor Michelle and all the great preachers that are here at the church and those that are being raised up that we've had an opportunity, I want to enjoy that. But as I preached today, I said, you know what? We're good at working. We're not good at resting. And in life, the rhythm of life, there's a rhythm with music. It's not just a note, just one note, but there's a note, stop, note, stop, note, stop. And I'm not a musician, but I know music and kind of, I love to worship God. When you breathe, when you inhale, that's work. Exhale's rest. Inhale, that's work. It takes work to inhale, but to exhale, it's like, it's rest. Why are we able to do what we're doing now and to be able to have confidence in God? It's because we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is, I know my time is up, but I think that's the preaching part. I don't know. But I want to pray for some people that you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, that when you leave this place, that you leave changed. When you leave this place, you know you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Because when you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, somebody could come along and they could try to talk me about my relationship with Jesus Christ, but I've encountered Jesus Christ, so they can't talk me out of it. If you've never had that encounter, it's easy for you to talk somebody out of Jesus Christ, but I've had that encounter. That's why we're so happy about the decisions that we've made in our life to go forward because of the encounter that we've had. But first of all, you have to have the encounter of Jesus Christ, knowing that you're saved, that you're right with God. God loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, that you might have eternal life. You had a debt in your life called sin, a debt that you couldn't pay. But God says, I love them so much, I want to send Jesus Christ, and he's going to be the one that pays the debt for the sin in their life. That whoever believes in Jesus Christ, confesses with their heart, believes in their heart, confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It's just by faith, trusting God, by faith, saying yes to Jesus. And all of a sudden you just, I have to do this. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you were a Christian. Maybe you followed God, but maybe you're not at that right place and you realize that there's no more change happening in my life. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus Christ. I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to hit the pulpit here. I'm going to ask those of you who need to get right with God. First of all, get your hand up. Then we're going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to ask those of you that need prayer, and we'll probably dismiss those if you need to leave, but I want to give the opportunity, because that's what we do at our church. We give people the opportunity that after services, we want to go longer and allow God to move and pray for people. But if that's you, at the count of three, just say, you know what? I need Jesus. I want to have that encounter with Jesus. I need to get right with God. I've been backslid. I need to come. I want to just do the right thing. And I want to come to God. I want to have that encounter so there's change in my life. The count of three. One, two, three. Anybody that needs to, there's a hand right here. Anybody else? If you could get your hand up high. I mean, I saw your hand. Anybody else? God bless you. There's one over there. God bless you. Anybody else over here? Anybody else? I can't really see. Just slip it up. Say, hey, I want to, oh, back there in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? If I didn't see your hand, God knows. God sees your hand. God knows your heart. I want everybody to pray this after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Out loud, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life. Today, I give you all my heart. I give you all my life. Forgive me my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise. If everyone would stand to your feet, this is what I'm going to do. Like I said, I just want to pray for you. You can have an encounter with that people touching you or praying for you, but I feel that today that I just want to lay hands and as a point of contact. And if you're believing God tonight for that encounter, for that touch, for that healing, maybe it's deliverance, whatever it is, I don't need to know what's going on, but God knows. And I believe if you come with the expectancy in your heart that a miracle is going to take place, when God says, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, I believe that. We've seen it happen over and over and over again in our church. We believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that miracles are for today. So if that's you, and we're going to ask you to come up and line up. The ushers are going to have you line up, but I'm just going to come and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe that you have that encounter. We believe that when you leave this place, you're going to leave changed. You're not going to leave the same. So if that's you, just come to this altar. Come to the altar. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come expecting. Come believing. Come for that touch. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.